Hi, welcome to StanLib's weekly economic podcast. My name is Kevin Lings and I'm the chief economist within StanLib. The intention with these weekly podcasts is to unpack some of the key economic developments that have unfolded over the past week. And I think for the purposes of this podcast, we should focus on US employment data that came out for July. It wasn't as good as expected, but strangely, that is actually good news for the markets. The second is South Africa's PPI inflation, producer inflation for July, which was lower than expected, down at 2.7%, which is obviously encouraging from an inflation perspective. And the final is South Africa's government revenue and expenditure for July. Data certainly deteriorating, and it looks like government finances are going to have to be restated when we see the October medium-term budget. So let's start off the discussion with a bit of analysis of the US labor market. During the course of last week, we actually got a lot of employment data out of the US. We got the job openings numbers, we got the weekly jobless claims, we got the ADP report, and then obviously the main employment report from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And I think all of those reports are telling us or giving us the same message, and that is at the margin, the labor market is softening. By softening, I don't mean that the US is losing hundreds of thousands of jobs or there's a dramatic rise in the unemployment rate. All I'm suggesting is that the labor market is just not as strong as it was a couple of months ago. And that's good news. It's good news because it suggests less pressure on wages, less pressure through more and more employment that feeds into consumer spending that then keeps inflation elevated. And obviously, the less pressure there is on wages and inflation, the more likelihood it is that the Fed will decide to keep interest rates unchanged when they meet in September, which is certainly our expectation. Now, this has come into focus because at Jackson Hole Symposium, Jerome Powell highlighted the tightness in the labor market and highlighted the risk that the Federal Reserve may have to increase interest rates further. On the basis of the data that I saw last week, I would suggest that those risks have now dissipated and there's less chance of a further interest rate hike. So what did the main numbers do? Well, the US created 187,000 jobs in the month. That's not a bad outcome, perhaps not as strong as it's been, but it's certainly a decent outcome. Critically, the unemployment rate went from 3.5% up to 3.8%. 3.8%, the highest they've had in some time, and therefore clearly a softening of the labor market. But it's not alarming. It's not a disastrous number by any means. It just says that you're moving in a direction of a less tight labor market. In addition, the job openings have now fallen below 9 million, still a very high number, but there's no doubt that there are less jobs on offer and that companies are somewhat less keen to hire as they go forward. So all of that suggests to us that the labor market is moving in the right direction. It's allowing the US economy to slow without going or experiencing a hard landing. And critically, from an equity market and bond market perspective, it should allow the Federal Reserve to keep interest rates unchanged for the remainder of this year and then consider cutting rates in the first half of next year. As I mentioned at the start of the podcast, South Africa's producer inflation came in at 2.7% in July, which was below market expectations. I think the market was thinking the number would come in at just over 3%. If I look at the month-on-month increase, that was very modest at 0.2%. And overall, there's no doubt that producer inflation has softened considerably compared with where it was a year ago. If you go back to July last year, producer inflation was up at around 18%. So the moderation in producer inflation has been quite considerable and impressive. Most of the reduction that we've seen over that time has got to do with base effects in the energy sector. In other words, the oil price was especially elevated and then it's moved lower, and as a consequence, the year-on-year percentage change in the oil price has been declining. And that's helped get producer inflation down quite substantially and remained a factor in the July reading. The other factor that I think has been useful is there's been a moderation in producer inflation. This is at a manufacturing level, and we've seen that number moved down from double digits to 6.8% in July. And that's a good indication that we'll see slightly lower consumer food inflation over the coming months. Obviously, there's a pipeline of pressure within the agricultural and food production sector, and we've seen some of that pressure at least dissipate in recent months. We're not entirely convinced that food inflation will stay low well into next year, because we are concerned about the El Nino effect at the start of next year. But for the moment, I think at least the food inflation basket is moving in the right direction. Now, the 2.7% doesn't mean that everything is under control, and there were two areas of inflation that jumped out at me as being especially elevated. The one is electricity inflation measured at the production level, and that number is now at 19.1% year on year, and obviously that'll feed into the whole production process and has the risk of pushing up prices more broadly. So we need to monitor that very carefully. The Reserve Bank has certainly flagged that as a key risk. The second element where prices are elevated is in vehicles. If I look at producing inflation for vehicles, that sits at over 14%. Now, that's not at the consumer level, but it gives you some idea of the pressure that's within the vehicle industry, and obviously some of that pressure relates to exchange rate weakness. Fortunately, outside of those components, I would say that broadly, producing inflation in South Africa seems to be reasonably under control. I do think the number will stay within the inflation target for the next couple of months, and hopefully we can see that the pressure at the consumer level dissipates for the remainder of this year and helps the Reserve Bank to at least keep interest rates unchanged in the short term, which is our expectation, and then during the course of next year start to look to cut interest rates. The last topic we want to look at is government revenue and expenditure for the month of July. The data was released by National Treasury during the course of last week, and that allows us to assess how government is performing in the first 4 months of the fiscal year. It's only 4 months, so we can't draw hard conclusions, but it certainly can give us an idea as to whether or not government is on track or whether there's been further fiscal slippage. And if I look at the breakdown of the data, there's no doubt that government is not going to achieve the budget parameters that they set out in February of this year. So on the revenue side, government is now well behind budget, and that decline has got to do with corporate tax revenue being a bit disappointing. It is off a high base given what happened to mining receipts and commodity prices in the prior 2 years. But I think government was fairly optimistic or ambitious in terms of their forecasts of company taxes remaining elevated. And so we've seen some disappointment there. And beyond corporate taxes, we generally are seeing that tax revenue is under pressure simply because the economy is fairly weak. On the expenditure side, government is certainly spending well ahead of budget. There was actually, in the month, a 9% increase in government expenditure, which is considerable. We're not entirely sure where those increases are coming from. We know that some of it relates to the interest cost of debt. Now, government had put in a sizable increase in interest cost in the February budget, but it's exceeded that, and understandably so, given what's happened to bond yields and generally what's happened to the interest rate environment. And I suspect during the remainder of this fiscal year, we'll see further pressure on the interest cost or the debt servicing cost that government has to pay. The other area is salaries, where government gave a bigger than expected salary increase. And there's no doubt that some of those salary increases are now aggravating government expenditure. I see the Minister of Finance announced some measures to try and contain government expenditure, such as a hiring freeze. But I think in reality, it's going to be very difficult to implement those effectively, especially as you go into an election year next year. There's going to be enormous pressure on the government to try and what I call beautify the country, spend some money, improve where they can, maybe a bit of additional money on infrastructure and get some projects going, or maybe complete some projects that have stalled. All of that to try and show that government is performing much better, and that tends to then put the fiscal authorities under pressure. If I look at government's cash holdings, they've also come down considerably. Government once a month gives us an idea of how much money is in the bank, if you like. And at the time when the mining companies were making huge profits and paying significant taxes, government was able to build up a very substantial cash balance, which they hold within the commercial banks. In recent months, that cash balance has been depleted considerably. Again, it's not alarming, it's not at a point of crisis, but it does suggest or give us an idea that government finances are not as comfortable as they were in the preceding 2 years. So what does this mean? I think it generally will keep the bond market under a bit of pressure. I think some of this is already factored into the pricing on the bond market, so I don't know that it's necessarily new news in terms of bond investors, but any further deterioration certainly could have a negative effect. Could it affect the credit rating? I don't think at this stage. Obviously, it depends on how government responds to this deterioration and what they actually announce in the October medium-term budget as well as the February budget next year. But overall, I don't think it's going to be possible for government to achieve their targets. I think we're going to be talking about additional fiscal slippage and deterioration. And hopefully, we are able to then stabilize the fiscal position as we go into next year. Overall, though, what you would have to say is that without a meaningful increase in economic growth and meaningful increase in employment and therefore a widening of the tax base, it's really difficult for government to get its fiscal position into much better shape. And so I think for the moment, this is going to be the pattern that we have to get used to, where government makes promises about what they're going to achieve in terms of fiscal consolidation and then really struggle to make those numbers work and have to in the end adjust that to reflect some of the reality and some of the pressure that government finds itself perpetually under.
So that's all from me for this week. Hope that makes some sense, and we'll catch up again in a week's time. Thanks a lot.